Well, glad you're here tonight. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm so glad you're here tonight. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead. We'll pray. Let's just worship the Lord for a minute. Let's give Him praise. Father in heaven, we praise You, magnify You, lift up the name of Jesus, honor You, reverence You. So grateful tonight for Your goodness, Your blessings, Your miracles, all that You've done for us. Thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, to live and to die and be raised on the third day for us. Thank You for sending the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and to guide us and to lead us. Thank You for Your Word, Your written Word, Father, love letters from You to us. We thank You, Father, for the name of Jesus and the power and authority that rests in that name. We thank You for the angels of God that minister to those that are heirs of salvation and execute Your Word. So, Father, thank You tonight. And, Lord, as we open up Your Word, I thank You for revelation, light, understanding to come, answers to any problems we may be dealing with. I thank You for solutions. Thank You for light. Thank You for strategies and plans. Thank You for greater vision. So, Lord, I thank You for utterance. I thank You for boldness, clarity of speech. And, Father, You reach even the hardest heart here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight I want to minister on prayer, and it's going to be strategic prayer. I don't know, that's the word I got while I was preparing, strategic prayer. This is, most of this message is what I delivered to ministers over in Australia, and there's probably very few churches that I would preach this at, but Good News Church is one of those churches. Because part of our plan is we're raising up ministers, and so we give it a little stronger here. And I want to try to help in your prayer life, because there is praying for yourself, there is praying for your family and praying for loved ones, and we want you to do that, and we've taught you to do that. But there is a higher way to pray, and I think this will produce more for you in your life, be more fruitful to pray this, to pray some of these things that I'm going to share with you tonight. We desperately right now need the help of the Holy Spirit, every one of us. I think there's a lot of change, a lot of transition going on, a lot of things happening in our world, and we need God's help. And we're starting this discipleship initiative, and we're just kind of stepping out there. This is kind of radical. I don't know many churches in Augusta that are doing something like this, and God's given, I don't believe this is just a good idea. I believe this is a God idea. And I think, but we need to, the foundation for it needs to be prayer. Because anybody can go through a manual, go through scriptures, but we want fruit to come from this, from those leading and those that are hearing, and then fruit in the future for this to continue and for it to spread. So before I get into some things about what we need to be praying, let's remind you of a few things. Turn your Bibles to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Some great verses on prayer found there, starting in verse 14. And this is where we talk about launching our prayers from the platform of God's Word. You heard me say that before? We said that here? Launching your prayers from the platform of God's Word, meaning you base it on the Word of God. And if our prayers are scriptural, praying what He thinks is important, don't you think it's going to be more likely that something's going to happen? And I don't know about you, but I want results in the things that I'm praying. So 1 John 5, verse 14, I'm going to read from the Amplified. And this is the confidence. We should be having confidence in prayer. Prayer shouldn't be wondering, you know, wondering if something's going to happen, wondering if we're going to make a connection with God. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. We are sure, I like that, I like this language, we are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to His will. What's His will? What's His will? His Word, the Bible, the Scriptures. If we ask anything according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens to and hears us. And since we positively know that He listens to whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have that we have granted us as our present possessions. I love that. The request made of Him. So we're launching our prayers from the Word, basing it on the Word, praying His Word. And the Scriptures are saying here that He hears it, hears those prayers. And if we know that He hears us, He's going to respond to those requests. And then I always like to tack on Ephesians 3:20 to anything that I'm praying, because I want it to be more. That God would do super abundantly more than we dare, Amplified says, ask, think, hope, dream, or pray. Right? All right, the second thing to remind you of tonight is to avoid selfishness in your prayers. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. This is part of Paul, beginning of Paul's prayers in Ephesians 1. Verse 15, Amplified, says this, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, the people of God, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now, he's writing to a church. So he's talking about praying for that church and praying for the people of that church. And so we need to avoid selfishness. Again, selfish prayer. And again, I shouldn't say selfish prayers. I mean, all prayers are good. But if you're always just praying about your need and about people that you love and your family, I think that can get into selfishness. I mean, God's got a whole lot of things going on. He doesn't really have that many people that understand prayer, really, in the body of Christ. He doesn't have very many people that understand prayer, how it works, and also with people that know their authority. And so for those that know those things and know who they are in Christ, know their identity, know their authority, He needs us. He needs us to be able to work with Him on what He wants to do in the earth. And it's really like these things for you, it's almost a given. Some of the things you don't even need to pray about, it's your right. And so even in the body of Christ, we're praying about a lot of things that we don't really need to pray. But when you pray for people, and so we need to be praying for this church, we need to be praying for other churches, other ministries that we're partnered with. When you pray for people, they get in your heart. And it's a supernatural thing that happens when you're at God's throne and you're talking to God. What's in Him gets in you. And His heart is people. His part is nations. His part is reaching people. He wants to reach this city. He wants to reach your neighborhood. He does want to reach your family. And so to pray for them, and especially those people that you have problems with. Because it's tough to criticize and gossip and tear down people that you're praying for. It just doesn't work because you're praying for them, and you know, praying for your enemies. And what happens is your heart starts to change. They may not change initially, but you change, and that can be the beginning of change with that person. All right, so here's some things that I think we need to be praying about. And this one I didn't mention in Australia, but this is something that I was just kind of praying today, and I felt like I need to bring up here because of what's happening in the United States, because of what's happening with different races, what's happening in our different cities. There's been rioting. There's been a lot of turmoil. There's been things happening with police and shooting people and all kind of things happening. And certainly the enemy would like to take this and turn it into something bigger as far as the nation. And what are we to do? I mean, we can protest. That's one thing we can do. We can go to these cities and protest. We could maybe start a nonprofit. I don't think engaging people on Facebook and having a big argument there is a good place to, but if that's what you feel like you know, the Lord's leading you to do, what can we really do? Unless the Lord gives you some kind of a plan. Well, you can do what the Bible says. And this is what I really recommend, because He's got some keys in here for us to help us in these situations. Now, I'm not blaming the body of Christ. I'm not blaming anybody in any of these cities for what's happening. But I do know there are some promises here if we'll act on these scriptures. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I'll be the first to tell you, our government, we need help. Our city leaders, we do need help. They need to have wisdom. Just sitting back and doing nothing is not the answer. And so we need people that have vision. We need people that know how to hear from God. We do need plans. Things do need to change. But what do? We need wisdom from God. So 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 says this. First of all, so I'll just say that to you. I mean, you can, you know, point fingers and criticize, and I'm okay, I can handle that. But let's do what the scripture says. First of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all men. Now, this is not me. This is Bible here. For kings and all who are in positions of authority. It's just so easy to criticize. And we have to allow a lot to be critical of. But the scriptures, it doesn't say, you know, if we criticize people, that's going to make it better. For kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. For such praying is good and right, and it is pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved and increasingly to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. So one of the things I'm doing right now for the Augusta area, and if he shows me something to do, I mean, I've met the mayor, and I've met him at the airport. I met him several times, and he has said for me to call him. And maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll call him and say, what can we do to help in this city? Maybe we need to get pastors together. I know that's not necessarily happening. It's tough to get any pastors together, different, you know, groups. Maybe that's something we need to do. But I know this, we need to be praying. We need to be praying for our leaders. We need to be praying for our police force. We need to be praying for our firemen. We need to be, in prayer for these folks. Pray for our leaders that they have wisdom. I mean, there's so many things pulling and so many different voices and so many people to please. I mean, how do you even hear and know what to do? We need people that can hear from God. We need wisdom. Wisdom is God's thinking, God's plan. But it says here that if we will do this, we will pass a quiet and undisturbed life. New King James says peace. We'll have peace. So do all, I mean, whatever else the Lord's leading you to do. But first of all, do this. And tonight, during our prayer time, we'll do that. We'll pray for the city. We'll pray for our government. And I'm just kind of ranting here a little bit. Is that okay? I mean, go ahead and criticize and say all you want about Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or whoever else it is. But one of these folks is going to be our president. Whether you like it or not, someone in this race is going to get elected. And so why don't we just start praying for the person right now? I don't want more division. I want someone, and again, I don't put all my chips on our president. I kind of just pray for stalemate. They can't do anything sometimes. Because sometimes what the government touches doesn't always work out. You know what I'm saying? But let's pray for our leaders. What, have you been praying for your leaders? You've been praying for our mayor? Do you even know what form of government we have here in the city? You've been praying for our president, praying for President Obama. You're praying for our Supreme Court, praying for these people. They need our prayers. And you know, you get wrapped all up in the politics, and you're just getting into flesh, and you're just getting into natural things. We need to be spiritual. And then, not only that, should we be praying these things, is how many people, again, talking about prayer, even know how to pray? Very few. And the people of Good News Church, you've been taught. You know your authority. I'm believing for harmony and unity and one accord in Augusta, Georgia. And there'll be so much unity and harmony here, it'll spread to Georgia and South Carolina and North Carolina. Lord knows that North Carolina needs it. And maybe just go on up the East Coast. But this, and then if you don't know what to pray in English because you run out of things, pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying the perfect will of God. Pray. Pray for this nation. And the things that mean the most to me is for this nation to be able to reach other nations with the gospel. I was watching a video, a documentary on Saudi Arabia. I got to hustle here. In Saudi Arabia. You know, they don't have worship houses there. You know, they have a religious police that walk through the city and see anybody, you know, breaking the rules. They'll whip you right on the spot. And then if the infraction is serious enough, they'll hang you. They'll chop off parts of your body. You know, and so I don't think they have peaceable life there. I don't think there's a free flow of the gospel. But here in the U.S., we can sit here tonight, and I hope you don't have any fear. We can meet, we can worship, we can preach the gospel, we could go out on the street and preach the gospel. People may not like it. But we are tremendously blessed, and let's do our part in this nation. Let's be praying for this, for what's our part in this end time harvest. All right, enough of that. I hope I didn't offend anybody. I probably said things in the wrong way. But bottom line, my intention is we need to be praying. Praying for our leaders. And all this tearing people down and being critical of different leaders, I don't think that's doing any good. And I think there's a whole lot of division, and division comes from our words. We need to understand the power of our words. All righty. Let's move on. All right, Acts chapter 4. I don't know if I meant to say any of that, but anyway, that's all right. Acts chapter 4. Let's look at verse 23. After they were permitted to go, the apostles returned to their own company and told all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. This is after Peter and John went to the gate called Beautiful. They remember they healed the lame man. He had been lame since birth. Raised him up until he was healed. And then Peter and John, they were put in jail. They were threatened. And so this is after that. And told them all the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together with one united mind to God and said, O sovereign Lord, you are he who made the heaven and earth and the sea and everything that is in them. So this is really the first corporate prayer in the New Testament. And so I'm curious about what they're going to pray together for this corporate prayer. Who by the mouth of our forefather David, your servant and child, and said through the Holy Spirit, why did the heathen Gentiles become wanton and insolent and rage? And the people imagine and study and plan vain, fruitless things that will not succeed. The kings of the earth took their stand in array for attack, and the rulers were assembled and combined together against the Lord and against his anointed, Christ the Messiah. For in this city there was actually met and plotted together against your holy child and servant Jesus, whom you consecrated by anointing both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to carry out all that your hand and your will and purpose had predestined, predetermined should occur. And now, Lord, observe their threats and grant to your bondservants full freedom to declare your message fearlessly. Are you catching this? While you stretch out your hand to cure and to perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child and servant Jesus. Now listen, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. Now the company of the believers was of one heart. When you're praying together, you come together, one heart and soul. Not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was exclusively his own, but everything they had was in common and for use of all. And with great strength and ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, loving kindness, and favor and goodwill rested richly upon them all. Nor was there a destitute or needy among them. So they came together and corporately prayed. They prayed specifically for two things. They prayed for boldness. We need to be praying for boldness. Boldness is one of the most important things you can be praying for the church, praying for those of the people that you care about. Boldness. Boldness to hear from God. Boldness to step out and do His will. Fearlessness. Fear stops you from action. So praying for boldness. And then the other thing is boldness to do what? Stretch forth His hand to heal. We need to be praying for boldness. We need to be praying for ministers, empowered ministers, able ministers, people giving life, people laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, boldness to go into their world and share the gospel, boldness to go into their world to be an ambassador for Christ and a minister of reconciliation. The church can't be silent in this hour. We have so much in us. And I'm not saying, maybe the Lord's leading you to do this, go out, go into Walmart and start screaming the gospel. I mean, maybe that's what God's calling you to do, but that's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying being bold in your world with what you have in you. And then as you're bold and as you encounter people with God's love, there's going to be opportunities for you to minister to them. Take those opportunities. Don't be just say, well, I'll be thinking about you. Or I'll pray for you. Pray for them right there. Maybe it is in Walmart. Maybe it's at Kroger. Maybe it's in the street in front of your house. Pray for them right at that moment if you have the time to do it. The church had boldness. They had power. They prayed it. They believed it. These are the kind of prayers that are going to shake this city. These are the kind of things that are going to open up doors for miracles. Now, this next one is a little deeper prayer here, strategic prayer. Psalms 2, verse 8 says this, "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth as your possession." We need to start asking God for nations. Now, when we're talking about nations, it may be a country. But when they mentioned nations, it's people groups. We have people groups and different people groups in Augusta. But we definitely have different nations, different places. And I believe for many here, God's already dealing with you about different nations. Now, there's a great website called joshuaproject.net. And on that has unreached people groups. It has different nations on there. You can go, you can have them give you an email feed every day of an unreached people group, tells you what to pray for them. But it's saying here, he's challenging us, ask of me, I will give you the nations. I will give you people groups as your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth as your possessions. Learn about these nations. Pray for the laborers. Pray for divine connections. I believe we're supposed to do more reaching, more outreach to different people groups in our city, in our area. Be involved with God, what God is doing in the nations. Now, we'll close with this. I want to share the prayer that changed my life in my ministry that I prayed back in 2009. We were having impact meetings, and with Jeremy Gall in 2009, the first time that we did it, and before the meetings, at the night meetings, we would have prayer. And so I got all my scriptures. I had probably about 40 scriptures. Launch your prayers from the platform of God's Word. And so I'm back there praying, and I'm kind of going through, you know, Matthew, Mark, different scriptures, and I come to Matthew 9, and I really can't even remember actually putting that on my prayer list before for something like this. And I came to Matthew 9, and the rest of the meetings that we had that summer, and we had a lot of them, I prayed Matthew 9. And it was about praying to the Lord, and I'll read the scripture here in a minute. It was about praying to the Lord of the harvest to pray for the laborers. And that prayer has changed my life. We prayed that in 2009. 2010, we met Jim Newton from Australia. And that's opened up a whole lot of doors. He's the one that challenged us to do the I Give Life DVD. And probably opened up the door to even doing what we're doing now with the Essential 8. He challenged us to think bigger. He challenged us to be thinking about nations. He challenged us to get the message, you know, it's not just for Augusta, it's for the world. And so I just want to encourage you. You are a part of a place that's empowering people to give life. This is the mission of Good News Church. This is what we do. This is our vision. We see a community of believers. We see in the future a community of believers strongly connected to God and to each other, empowered by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to be able ministers, reaching their worlds and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the vision of Good News Church. And of course we want your needs met. Of course we want you to have strong marriages and strong families. And of course we want your body healed. Of course we want you to know who you are in Christ. Of course we want you to have peace. All those different things. We want you to have life. We want you to have the abundant life. But the abundant life is just not all about us. It's about people in our world. And so this is a fundamental prayer of Good News Church, what I'm about to read here. And if we can get this church to pray this, I mean, it'd be radical. Already amazing things have happened. But for us to get to understanding here, now let's look at Matthew 9, verse 35. Amplified. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues and proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and curing all kinds of disease and every weakness and infirmity. When he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them. I just pray tonight that in the midst of your crazy world, I mean, we all have all these things happening a lot in our lives, that you'll start seeing people the way God sees them. And not only start seeing people the way God sees them, but you'll start having compassion for them. And compassion is love in action, meaning you're going to do something about what you see. He was moved with pity and sympathy for them because they were bewildered. How many people in our lives? I mean, just today I was at two different hospitals. I mean, this is everywhere. They were bewildered, harassed, and distressed, and dejected, and helpless. So many people. And I'm talking about church people. Like sheep without a shepherd. I mean, we've got to start looking at people with God's heart. And this is going to come through prayer. When you start praying some of these things, that compassion is going to begin to just overflow in you, and you're going to have to do something about it. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust laborers into his harvest." I mean, shouldn't he have been praying about a bigger church buildings? Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that, I mean, a bigger TV ministry? More radio stations? A publishing house? I mean, all these different things. And those are all, I mean, God wants everything, I mean, to grow and to thrive. But look at what he prays here. And I believe this is the number one need in the body of Christ is for laborers. Who's going to do something about it? We have churches in the city, and again, I'm for anybody trying to do anything for God, but they're clueless. Mega churches, clueless about this. They don't have a clue what God's doing in the earth. I want to be right in the middle of the game, right in the middle of what he's doing. I want to be praying what's on his heart. I want to be involved in things which he's interested in. I don't want to be one of those spectators watching other people on the field. I want to be in the field, in the game. Anybody else want to be in the game? You want to get your jersey dirty? Then when you pray this, Jesus was talking about this, then he did something about it. Matthew 9:37, message. Let's put that up here. What a huge harvest. I'm telling you, there's a huge harvest. And not just in India, in China. There's a huge harvest in Augusta. There's a huge harvest at Fort Gordon. There's a huge harvest at Starbucks. There's a huge harvest in your neighborhood. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. The prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. Jesus called the 12 of his followers and sent them into the ripe fields. He gave them power to kick out the evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives. This is what you wanted on Wednesday night, midweek boost. We can say this at Good News Church. This is the kind of people we are. But we're stepping into some different things with the Essential 8, with the second year of CADA. CADA is about training trainers. Praise God. Let's stand, everybody. We're going to take a few minutes here to pray. And if you want to walk around, you can. If you want to get on your knees and pray. If you want to leave, you can. I'll kind of lead, but you just follow the Holy Spirit in your prayers. Father in heaven, we just cry out to you right now. We just look to you. I mean, our government, our leaders, they don't have any answers for us. We look to you. Put men and women in office that hear from heaven. Put men and women in office, Father, that have wisdom. That want to do what's right. It's not about special interests. But it's about the people. And it's about hurting people. And it's about helping people. The word minister, you know, in the government, ministers, means servants. Lord, I just pray in this next election, we just raise up a bunch of servants. I don't care what party they are. I don't care what label they have. Let's just raise up some servants that can bring some change to this nation. That this nation can do what it's called to do and get the gospel to the world and do our part. So I'm asking for unity and harmony in this country. Bring us together. Bring the churches together. Bring the pastors together. And what the enemy has meant for harm, Father, turn it around for good. Give these leaders in these cities wisdom. Give these police departments wisdom to know what to do. And get it right. If they're making mistakes, get it right. Thank you, Father. Thank you for our president. Thank you for President Obama. Thank you for our vice president. Thank you for our Congress. Thank you for our senators, Supreme Court, all our elected officials. Father, we pray for them, for wisdom. Surround them with godly counsel. Show them the way to go. And to be bold to follow you and to bold to step out on these things that are right. Lord, I pray for the Augusta area. I just pray for harmony. I pray for unity. No weapon formed against this city shall prosper. Bring people together. Bring leaders together. Bring neighborhoods together. Bring us together. Lord, help us in the name of Jesus. Help our government officials. Help our police force and our firemen, all those that, Father, in leadership, help them, give them wisdom, give them revelation. You've given us authority in this city, and we walk in this city. Devil, take your hands off God's property. And we pray for just open doors for ministries, for churches and ministries to thrive and to flourish. And we declare all of Augusta saved. All of Augusta saved and coming to the knowledge of the truth, and for that to flow into other cities and other neighborhoods. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And if you got strategies and plans for us, what we need to do, we'll be obedient to that. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray for this essential aid. This is so critical right now. Thank you, Lord, for the leaders. Thank you for people that are stepping out and just getting out of their comfort zone. Give them wisdom. Give them revelation on how to do this and how to walk this out. Let us help each other. Thank you for those that are being taught, Lord. They'll be open. Everybody's going to learn, Lord. Everybody's going to grow. But we're asking for this to bear fruit for beyond this next 8 weeks, Father, to bear fruit in the lives of all those that are involved. That we'll raise up disciples who make disciples. Father, we want to bear fruit for the kingdom. We want to be life givers. Help us and to empower people to give life in a greater way. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all those that are involved. I know there'll be more involved, Father. We give no place to the enemy. No place to confusion. There just be a supernatural endeavor, initiative here, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Supernatural endeavor here, Father. Bearing much fruit. Help us to do our part in fulfilling the Great Commission, Father. Raising up disciples who make disciples. Raising up life givers who make other life givers. Everybody stepping into their ministry, Father. Their ministry of reconciliation. Their ambassadorship. Stepping into that, walking in the reality of that and the fullness of that, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, people of Good News Church, we're bold. We're bold. We're bold. We step out of our comfort zone. We're bold in the name of Jesus. Fearless to share the gospel, lay hands on the sick, to bring your love, to bring your words in wherever they go, Father. So we thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Boldness. 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 I just thank you, Father, for boldness right now in the name of Jesus. Boldness. Boldness. People of Good News Church, we're bold. Bold in the name of Jesus. Bold. Bold, bold in Jesus' name. Be bold. Be bold. Be bold in the name of Jesus. Be bold. Be bold. Hallelujah. Boldness. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And then, Lord, we thank you, Lord, raising up laborers. Raising up laborers. Helping us to do our part to raise up laborers. Not only here at Good News Church, other nations, other cities, raising up laborers. Give us strategies. Give us plans. Give us ideas. Give us revelation to do that in a greater way. Thank you, Father, opening up doors. Opening up doors for this. Sending forth the laborers, fully equipped, trained, ready to go into their world, to change that world for Jesus Christ. Thank you for an abundance of equipped laborers, and that we force them out and thrust them out into the harvest field. Thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.